Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann, and I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go Padres, pitchers and catchers. They've reported, right?
Everybody's there now, right? Isn't that
Yeah. Baseball season is officially underway for me, I think we can say. It's started.
Yeah, it's I'm starting to smell the grass. I'm starting to get excited. I'm starting to have optimism. It's a lot different than last year. But spring is a fun time for everybody. We can trick ourselves into believing certain things, but we'll unpack that in a few minutes. But we have a very special returning guest, Sports Brain, Chris Garcia, at Sports Brain on Twitter. Thanks for coming on, Chris. We had you on Woo-hoo! A couple of years ago, I think, at the VOSD podcast studios. So.
Yeah, it was a while ago, and I still have the box of baseball cards that you guys gifted me that day, so it's a great little nice. Treat, but cool. No, I mean, super excited to be back. Like, it's kind of crazy that we're already, getting into the swing of things with baseball. Like, the Korea games are, a month, less than a month away now? I think yesterday was the 1 month, so it's crazy that everything's happening and baseball's back.
Yeah, I mean, going into last year, it did seem like we had the team was pretty much set going into the season. This year's a little different. We don't really understand what our outfield's exactly going to be. But that, I think we're most Padres fans, I think, are smart enough to realize it doesn't have to be all settled on opening day. But it's a different vibe going into the spring training where we don't really have, I think people are a little bit more skeptical than they were last year. I mean, last year, everybody was just so jacked about beating the Dodgers in a playoff series and adding, Xander Bogaerts and making all those moves. I think there was just so much more optimism going into it. How are you feeling about the club going into this as far as, after what happened last year? We're all still kind of dealing with that, and I think people are a little, do you feel a little bit more guarded?
it's so weird because, I mean, we look back at like the high of 2022 and like the playoff run and how everything ended, and it's like, oh, this is just going to happen every year. And it's like, you look at the talent we had last year, and I mean, it's been talked about a bunch, but just the weirdness of last year where they had a plus 100 run differential, like we're god awful in extra innings, we're god awful in one run games, and it felt like there was just this weird aura over the team last year where nothing could truly click when it needed to. Like, we couldn't get those big, winning streaks when we had to. So it's interesting this year because, I mean, we talk about the outfield, and that's one thing that I just continuously look at when I look at this roster as a whole and just the concern, because it's like we really have one starting outfielder if you think about it. Like, I love Azokar, but I don't know if that's a guy I want to trot out there for 162 games. And we're looking at guys that have played double A, maybe I think slight triple A for one of them, but it's just, there's a lot of holes that still need to be filled. And we know AJ, we know what the Padres do. They like to make moves in spring training closer to the regular season. So I have a feeling what we're looking at now is not going to be the complete team, but even the starting pitching, you look at what we lost the Lugo, Waka, Martinez. That's a lot of innings that are going to have to get eaten up this year. And you look at a Yu Darvish who has some injury questions. Like, love the man. Like, clearly I love the man. But, it's just one of those things where it's like, is he going to be able to hold up for a whole season? Musgrove obviously had a lot of injuries last year. So there's going to be a lot of question marks. And I just need to see them playing spring training baseball, see how things are working out so we can kind of get a better understanding of what this Padres team is going to be this season.
I noticed you didn't say Snell in that. Are you hoping that the Padres pick him back up? They open that checkbook and do it?
I would love to see that, but looking at the numbers that he was looking at from the Yankees, it's just, I just don't see a way that he's going to come here. But I know he's busy playing Call of Duty and Fortnite right now, getting those dubs. So he's really getting honed in for the season. So I truly think he's going to end up in Seattle. I think it's a perfect fit for him, given, being from up there, just that team, he could be a great piece for them. So at this point, I'm not really holding my breath about Blake Snell in a Padres uniform in 2024.
Yeah. I mean, the big change from last year, besides, not having Juan Soto and it looks like we're not going to have Blake Snell, but the that, you know, we have a new manager in Mike Schilt, and everything coming out of the organization from the start of spring training, and AC's written about it, is, and I think Kasunda might have mentioned it, but there's this word that keeps popping up that I keep hearing. It's everybody saying that there's alignment this year, and that everybody's going to be on the same page, and that AJ Preller is gonna have synergy with the coach, and it's all gonna work. And even though, you know, Grubner, AJ, the coach, and Kasunda are all gonna be on the same page, it seems like that's what they're selling us, and that's what we're supposed to believe. I don't know. I feel like, I think it's fair for Padres fans to be skeptical of that based on AJ's track record, especially with somebody, you know, with what happened last year and over the last 2 years with Bob Melvin, who's pretty much respected across baseball as being somebody that can work with anybody. I don't know. I mean, do you feel confident in that this group, because this is what, the fourth manager, or the fourth manager? Yes. Like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, and it's
But
like, at a certain point, are we supposed to just take that at their word at the beginning of a partnership, and say, like, okay, well, they're saying alignment a lot. That must be different this time. I'm having a hard time with that. I don't know about you guys.
I mean, honestly, the alignment thing, it kind of scares me, because I think we can look at the pieces, and it's, I don't know if it's been officially said, but Schilt was brought in to do this when Bob was still here. So it's like, this is AJ's guy. So are we gonna have another situation with one of the young managers where he's like, here's the lineup, play them, and he's gonna say yes, sir? Like, that's a big question for me, because I will say, like, I get there's a lot of like polarizingness when it comes to AJ Preller, but I'm not sold that this is the guy that's going to be able to put a complete championship team together in San Diego. And the fact that we're just giving him another one of his guys to kind of play his style and what he wants, and he kind of wants to control the narrative, it's worrisome. But Schilt, he was great in St. Louis, and you know, like, he's got a great track record, so I can't hate the guy. So I mean, once again, it's, you know, it's really seeing these guys out on the field, seeing how all of this talk of, oh, we're a team, you know, we're gonna play for each other, all that kind of stuff, it's all just spoken word until they get on the field.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I think we do this a lot in San Diego, where we did it with Green, we did it with Tingler, we did it with Melvin. It's this turning of a new leaf, and these guys come in and they say all the right things, and they talk about, you know, competitiveness and team building, and you know, all the stuff that you're supposed to say, and they might have a different way of doing it than the previous guy, and that feels refreshing. And we just decide that these guys are gonna, it's all gonna work. I feel like people are starting to do that with him, and maybe that's fair, and maybe this is the personality profile that is conducive to working with AJ. Maybe that he can't, it is possible that he found it. I'm more concerned that there's something about his managing style that really rubs people in that role the wrong way. And there's a pattern that I think we're allowed to attach to it. And I don't know. I this the word alignment that they keep, that seems to be popping up a lot, that's going to be the difference from what was happening last year. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem like
Well,
that's something that
honestly,
he's
like,
capable of doing, you know?
yeah, and honestly, it's funny, because we're sitting here in Zoom, and like, I think of work, and you hear those words like alignment, and I feel like I'm in some sort of like corporate synergy meeting, you know? And
I
it's like,
know, I
you can
know, I
say
know.
that same crap over and over, and
So
it's not like,
much.
it's not
Did
going
I
to
say
change the
synergy
wording. So,
earlier? I feel like a corporate
no, you
shill.
didn't, but in my head, I was just
Well,
like, I was thinking corporate synergy the whole time.
we'll circle back to that, Nick, later, as
Circle
far as your
back?
synergy goes. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, after that interview that we saw from the ownership, it did feel like the most corporate, like, masked thing I maybe have ever seen in my life. Like, if you honestly created two drone humans and asked them to talk for people and not offend anybody, not say anything, they did it perfectly. Like, there was, what about season ticket prices increase? You know, and it was
Oh, I know.
very, well, we think we have a cohesive team effort that we're bringing to the park this year. You know, it's like, what are you talking about?
I
Corporate
mean,
speak.
the consensus belief is that he's not going to talk to us anymore either. The Kasunda
Oh,
is
yeah.
just the
That was it.
fascinating. I cannot believe that this is, I mean, we feel like a rudderless franchise, because the person that, you know, who was you know, we as fans, we were very much attached to, passed away, and he seemed to operate like a fan and enjoy it like a fan. But now we're stuck with this person who's supposed to be a responsible trust operator, you know, or trust chairman, I guess you call him. But I mean, I feel
I
like
hate to laugh, but it's like the opposite of what it was, the exact opposite. So
yeah, I mean, I feel like if I went behind him and I unzipped the back of his skin, black beetles would spill out or something like that. You know, like I don't. And then Eric Rupner. I mean, does he have a soul? I don't know. I mean, I don't know about the. I can't tell. It's that AJ shouldn't be able to talk in public. I don't know. And not that Peter was like, you know, some wordsmith or anything out there just talking all the time, but it did feel like a genuine love for just wanting to win. And he kind of like connected with fans. And this just feels like we're going back to a, you know, a corporate responsibility and nobody's going to just have fun with this anymore. I don't know.
Oh yeah. No, it's funny. Cause I look at it and it feels like Seidler was that dude that just, he's young. He has a ton of money. He's like, yeah, we'll spend it, whatever. It's fine. Like, you know, let's go get dinner. Let's go do this. I got you. And then all of a sudden his accountant comes in the room and goes, hey, come here. We got to stop with this. We've got to put like balances in place. And that's what it feels like. And
yeah,
I mean, yeah, the Pazienza interview was just like, just complete, just crap. Like I was like, dude, just went up there and rambled. I remember they were asking about the competitive balance tax threshold and he just responds, we'll see. Like, what kind of answer is that? You know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it does, I don't know, it does feel like it's just going to feel like this until they either sell the team or, because I don't think there's anybody in that family that really is going to run the whole operation as a fan or feel like they're just having fun. I don't think it doesn't seem like anybody else is going to step up. I wonder if there should have just had like some younger family member be the face of the franchise and kind of like act like Ryan Cohen or something and just be super enthusiastic like not that he, you know, like just really project that, if maybe that would be just a good move, or like somebody in the Ron Fowler role where like they become the face of the franchise, they go on the radio once a week and talk like a human being at least, you know. I don't know, that seems like that was useful at least when they weren't spending money and, you know, above board with us, you know.
And I mean, honestly, like you look at it and it's like, yeah, like, you know, obviously we've learned more, like Seidler's health was failing for a while. So like, right. I'm sure they put stuff in place, but do you really have a plan for something like this that happens when you have somebody who's like, you know, so important to an organization that passes away and you've got to kind of fill the pieces? So it's like, mm-hmm. I'm sure this is a natural transition right now, but there's nothing to say like maybe later in the year or, you know, next year, whatever, like, oh, you know, we need somebody who's a little more, got a little more personality, you know, can communicate well with the fans and the press and all that kind of stuff. And there, it might be something where, you know, that changes in the future, but there's also always that fear now of, I don't think it'll happen, but a sales, like, it's not that it's likely, but you truly never know what's going to happen, you know?
Oh, I know. And I think as San Diego sports fans, I think we have the right to be skeptical of at least the league that's still here, you know, like not finding the best person to buy it. I mean, you know, I love Peter Seidler and what he did at the end, but you know, the first 6 or 7 years or whatever, I guess it's, you know, the first few years, they weren't really trying to spend that much. And, you know, there was the Morad disaster before that. It's like, yeah. It's not like MLB has a great track record of just lining up the best suitors for us, you know?
Exactly.
Well, anyway, like back to like what's going on in the field. I mean, I think the craziest thing that's happened so far I don't know, like how you guys took this, but you know, Xander Bogaerts comes to camp and it's announced that he's going to be the second baseman. It's a little fuzzy, like on how, when he was told that, I guess he was told that in December, but he seemed to, I don't know. Like,
he seemed confused by that.
Yeah. And then like, is this, you know, I guess Mike Schilt is acting or saying that, you know, he's really impressed with Xander taking the role on, and, you know, Kim is clearly the best defensive second or shortstop that we have. I mean, how did you think about that exchange? What did you think about that exchange and like what the future is? Cause Xander Bogaerts is a very important figure in this organization for the next, you know, the next decade. So do you feel like this was handled correctly? And do you think there's just maybe a trade coming up?
I mean, there's a lot of questions, and I mean, I think it all starts for me with Ha-Seong Kim, because I truly feel like we're starting to see the value of him on and off the field, and like the fact that he's going to shortstop, like he's obviously the better defensive shortstop there. But the one thing that I keep going back to is why sign Sander in the first place? Like,
I've
it, you
never,
know,
yeah, I know. I
but we
know.
can go back to that. We can look at the contract, look at the numbers, and be like, why are we paying this guy this much? Like, are we trying to field an entire team of shortstops? But if you're gonna move to second, why not just keep on trucking on over to first? I know it's a little too close to the dugout for him, but we'll
Well,
see what happens.
I remembered last year when the idea of him going to first was thrown around, and he really rejected it, even though he's locked up all his money that he's going to make as a professional, really. I mean, he's done needing to be this shortstop that has to get his next contract at shortstop money. He's already been guaranteed that money. So if they asked him to play first, I don't see what the big problem would be, perception-wise. As long as he's hitting, nobody's really going to care. The other question also is, are we doing that just for Jake Cronenworth, who hasn't really been special in like 2 years? So, I don't know.
And that goes back to another contract that probably shouldn't have been extended as early as it was, but
Well, he's
yeah.
I just saw that I tweeted it out. There's a picture that just got posted
Yeah,
on
is that
Twitter.
real or
He's
there's
trying to
no
look
way?
like a 1980s first baseman. He's doing his part.
Yeah,
I
he's
don't
going for the John
know.
Kruk look, I think.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Xander, though, I will say, like, I thought when he was asked the questions, I thought he answered everything well, talked about coming here to win a championship, saying all the right things. So that's really good to see, because you could have someone like Anthony Rendon and you don't, which is
Oh.
good. So, it's good that he at least came out and said, like, whatever's gonna help the team win, like, we'll see what he does at second base. It does kind of make me laugh that we're paying this guy this much and he's never played a professional game at second base. So it's,
Yeah.
I guess we're just playing crapshoot at this point, but I think he'll be good there. So.
Yeah. I mean, this feels like an AJ special to me, like where it's we're not really sure if the rollout or the communication to the player was handled correctly. The new coach is in a tough spot because he has to, get up there and say it, and the player is stuck here for 10 more years, so he's going to try to make it all. Everybody's trying to make it work because the relationship is so ingrained. I mean, it's going to
Yeah.
be a part of everybody at this organization for so long, so it's so delicate. And yeah, it just feels like this happens a lot with him. There's redundancies all over the rosters and in the minor league system. And I get the philosophy. It's just like get the most talented people and figure it out. But I think we've seen over the last few years that it's figuring it out part is not really like what he's good at. I don't
Yeah,
know.
well, figuring out is harder than it seems, I guess.
And it gets to a point where like we're looking at some of these contracts we've thrown out over the years, and it's like Machado's not getting any younger. Like,
Oh, I know.
obviously,
Yeah.
I would say he's still at least in the prime, but he's probably on the tail end of that prime. And it's like, you gave him this contract to help bring a championship to San Diego. Like, he needs to have all the right pieces around him to help with that. And yeah, I mean, we're going into a regular season, like we said, with two outfielders on the roster, like a starting pitching rotation. We don't know what it's going to look like. A starting catcher in Campuzano, who I think can be really good this year, but really hasn't played a full season.
Yeah,
So
showed us that.
it's
It's
a
fair to
lot
be
of pressure
skeptical.
on those pieces. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a big year for all the main players that they have years c coming up. They're going to be here for a long time. I think I put Tatis and Manny and Musgrove in together as a grouping, as like, okay, what is this going to be? Like, are we just going to throw away seasons like this? What you guys are propped up as the leaders of the team, and you enjoy that, obviously. But this is a big season for Tatis. Is he gonna be the superstar? I mean, what he did last year, switching positions and making that work. Did he win the Gold Glove? I think he did, right? Did,
Yeah, did he win
yeah,
the Platinum
yes,
Glove or
yeah. I
whatever?
think I don't
Yeah,
know. He
he
was
did.
great at it, and but like, can he play a complete season and be, an offensive juggernaut like what we've he's been always been projected to be. You know, I don't know. I want to see it. Haven't yet. But and then Manny, you know, AC's writing articles about your leadership. Is he going to be right going forward? Like, I don't know. Like, I want to see that. And then Joe Musgrove's living in Point Loma and dropping stuff on his feet. Like, I don't know, for all those guys, it just feels like it's time to really like put up or shut up, or just, I don't know. I guess they can't go anywhere because they're signed forever, but
yeah,
I don't know. I think it's a real moment. It's a real time, you know, for all of them professionally, and they're all in different stages, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to take like the fun vibe this year and just have them partying and dancing. It's like, do you guys want to do this or not? You know?
Yeah. It's like, this is a year to prove it. Cause I mean, you look at the NL West as a whole, like the Rockies are what they are. The mm-hmm. Giants, I don't think are going to be much of a contender this year. You're looking at a team in the Arizona Diamondbacks that made it to the World Series last year with a lot of young talent and young depth. And yeah, they've got like so many pieces that keep rolling through. And then you've got the Dodgers, who are the Dodgers. So it's like, it's going to be it's a very top heavy division, but it's going to be really hard to win the division or even, you know, like win enough games to get into a great wild card position. So it's going to be a really interesting year, but I really do think this is Tatis's year. I think he's going to be the NL MVP, honestly, like getting the opportunity to play some winter ball, coming into a season healthy, not dealing with missing games and stuff like that. I think this is his year to really go off, and I think he's going to.
Because yeah, this will be his 25-year-old season. He's 26 or 20. He's 25 still, right? He'll be 25.
Yeah,
I can look it up. Yeah. I'm not sure.
I mean, this is the time 25 to 28. You know, this is the time to just put up your legacy. You know, I mean, yeah. I don't know what else to say. Like he came up early, and that was amazing. But you know, this is the time where you put it all together and you have your athletic apex and you're more of a grown up. And it's like, is he going to be one this year? I he was last year. It seemed like I just want that to continue and just to have him, obviously the whole baseball world is rooting for it. I mean, everybody's like loves watching him play at the top level. And it's just, yeah, I agree. This is the big year for him. And I think it is for Manny too. Cause yeah, this is the, probably we're heading towards like a post prime. Maybe we might be talking about this next year. Like, will Manny play first base? You know, like that could be in the future, yeah. You know, I mean, that, well, his range could change, but he could still, you know, he's a defensive genius. So he could do that transition. I think that could be coming, but.
People are already writing him in on mock lineups where he's the DH of the team. And that I saw a lot of that this offseason, and it started to make me like really sad. I don't know why that makes me sad that we've already got to the point, like we were talking about earlier, that he's probably at the peak of his prime on the back side of it. And we're already talking about the back end of his contract where he might be a DH / first baseman when he's the maestro. Like he is the defensive wizard that's why I love watching him. Like the hitting aside, I love watching baseball to watch Manny Machado play defense. And it's just a weird feeling that feels like he just got here and we're already talking about him DH.
Well, Jake Cronenworth's the first baseman, and he's gonna be, you know, he's, you're gonna have to pull that Coors Light away from his cold dead hands, you know. But apparently, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. It's the first, you know, it's the first week of spring training, and you know, anything could happen. I wonder if we just end up being like two games better than last year, miss the playoffs, and it's just this malaise going into the season. And then we're getting close to an attendance record, and then they're just jacking the prices up again going into 25. But you know,
yeah,
there's other options in 2025. San Diego, see that transition, dude? San Diego in 2025 is going to have a new soccer team, a football club. SDFC is going to be starting. And now, Chris, I wanted to talk to you about this just because, you know, you're a big soccer fan. Are you still part of the American Outlaws and all the?
Yeah, I am. I was watching the U.S. women had a Gold Cup game tonight. So I was watching that before we jumped on.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, everybody that went through the Soccer City versus SDSU-West stuff with us, with TKF United, turns out, you know, SDSU won that. And what turned out was the that stadium became the center of soccer in San Diego anyway. So the SDFC is going to be there starting in 2025. I mean, you were a staunch loyal fan. You were there for the beginning all the way through the end of it, which was, you know, a sad thing for everybody because we knew what they kind of they built in San Diego as far as the seeds for hopefully what grows into this new club. But how are you feeling about the rollout and the way the SDFC is kind of, they're doing events all over town and they're making content, kind of trying to ingratiate themselves. Not, I mean, to kind of reflect back the different aspects of our community, kind of looking at it as a whole county and different areas, different flavors. What's been your opinion about how that's been rolled out?
I mean, honestly, I think they've done a really good job. Like, I think one of the interesting things that they did out front was going to North County and reaching out to those areas, going out to Poway and East County, like hitting up all of these places where, you know, like there wasn't really a lot of events and stuff like that. And there's a lot of youth soccer in not only San Diego proper, but you go like south of the border, like Tijuana and stuff like that. There's so much like of a diehard soccer community here. It's still just such a weird situation for me because, like, obviously talking about being a loyal fan, I was writing postcards for Soccer City, like, every night before the election and stuff like that. So it's, like, for me, like, living here since 2011 and wanting soccer here, being part of the American Outlaw since then, like, doing – just wanting MLS in San Diego and to get it in the worst possible way, it's just – it's almost comedic. Ooh, geez. You know, it's like, it's what you always want, but the way it happened, it sucks. And there's no way around that. And I went to the logo release party and, you know, it's a really cool event. Talked to some people, it's just, there's so much like divisiveness right now when it comes to the soccer community, where there's so many people that are just like, no, they destroyed our team. They destroyed our love, like all that. And then there's also the people, well, we want MLS. MLS is here. But, you know, it's such a weird situation. And I almost think it's good that they're not playing until 2025 because it does give them time to build themselves in the community, spend time like really building the brand and getting an opportunity to reach out to people and see what they want. Everything I've heard is good so far, but talk is talk, and it's, you know, like once issues come up, how is it going to be treated, like how are we going to move forward? But I mean, I'm excited, but I think for the first time in a long time, I don't know if I'm going to be like the first one in line to get like supporters tickets. Like MLS is already way more expensive, and I've seen some of the prices that they're doing at Snapdragon, and I'm like, okay, but you know, I'll go to games, but I don't know if I'm going to be like that diehard soccer fan that I normally am. That kind of makes me feel weird and indifferent about them. But once again, like I'm keeping my options open. I'm not going to sit here and crap on them. Like I want them to succeed. Obviously soccer in our city will always be fun. It will always be good. And with the Wave here, like their season starting up in a couple weeks, and that's a fantastic stuff that they've done fantastic stuff there. So I'm just super excited about the future of soccer in San Diego and just hope everyone kind of comes together and we kind of all get on the same page down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I've been following, you know, the main supporters group for the Loyals, the locals, and just that general feeling of like, you know, we built this community over four seasons, and you know, we had great synergy with the club, and circling back to synergy, but
love it.
It was obvious, and it was something, you know, somebody who wasn't super involved or didn't join the locals, but I saw that the connection between the club and the group, the locals and the other groups, it was something that was really special. But, you know, I wonder are the locals and some of those groups, are they going to basically reemerge with the SDFC in like a different version of the supporters group since they already have the infrastructure set? Is that
so I mean, they're going to be part of the supporters structure. There's going to be multiple supporters groups like in there. A lot of MLS teams do that. Like when I was in LA and I had Galaxy season ticket holders, like I can think of like the Angel City Brigade, the LA Riot Squad, like the Galacticas. There was a bunch of groups. So like, I think it's going to be something like that, but I do know the locals are going to, you know, probably be there in 2025. But the interesting thing is they're also trying to do a lot outside of just soccer to keep a lot of those people that are maybe not going to be MLS fans or already have a team, so they're not going to support SDFC. So Yeah, I mean, it's new territory for a lot of people, including a supporters group that, you know, was part of a team and now just kind of having to decide the future and make everyone happy, which is a very hard thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things with the locals and or just, you know, the loyal in general was that, you know, there were certain social issues that came up and, you know, the team was very vocal about, you know, correcting that. And, you know, the locals would call them out and, you know, there was like a conversation happening about how this, what social issue, you know, what sides they should take with these certain issues. I mean, do you foresee something like that happening for SDFC? And if that response is different, do you think that will be like a big issue? I mean, it seems like they're hiring a lot of, they're hiring a lot of people from the loyal. So it's not like,
oh yeah. Yeah. They
like
brought
this complete
a lot of people
break.
In. Yeah. And like Ricardo Campos, who was very important in the loyal. I know he's with SDFC, which is really good. Cause I know he's an extremely hardworking guy and he understands the community and all that, but it's just MLS as a whole. That's just kind of, they don't like to take those stands and those type of opportunities. Like, and I mean, when you look at the MLS, it's such an interesting thing right now. Cause there's the US Open Cup, which is like the big, like US tournament that includes all the divisions, and MLS is basically trying to pull itself out of it because they don't control the TV rights. So it's just this whole mess right now that just makes them look awful. So it's like, it's not like this league is the best standing anyways. It's hard to watch their games. They are just on Apple TV. Last year during the playoffs, there was one game that was on television and that was the MLS Cup final. I'm like, how do you expect to grow a league when people, I'm not going to pay $89 a year to watch the MLS. Like, I'll watch the games on Fox here or there, but right now I don't really have the desire to sit like pay to watch MLS.
Yeah, I know. It seems like the hardcore soccer fans, you know, the MLS is the biggest league in America, but it seems like everybody, you know, has a team in Europe or a couple teams in Europe, and then they have their MLS team and then their USL team, and it's everybody has a team on each level, and it's fascinating. What is your Premier League team? Is that the
I support Everton, so it's a very sad time for my team right now.
Okay. No, my wife is a Liverpool fan, so I'm watching Liverpool in the mornings on the weekends, and you know I'm into it. I like it. I'm excited for it, but yeah, the way, you know, everybody should get down to the Snapdragon Stadium and just support the Wave this year and kind of see what it's like, because it's, you know, I went to one game at USD and then one at Snapdragon, and it's just the little girls are so jacked about it. It's like really fun. It's really fun, and they don't do a lot of like in stadium stuff, you know, like there's not a lot of big production. It's really just focused on the soccer, and it's wild to see those kids just be so locked in and engaged. I just think it's something special. And, you know, even though, you know, SDSU West won, it seems like the biggest show in at that structure is soccer, and it's going to continue.
It just makes me laugh every time because
it's funny.
You know, like we don't need to talk about the Aztecs attendance issues, but you look at like all these friendlies that came in over the summer, and like Wrexham and Man United sold the place out. Like Dortmund and Loyal had a really good showing there. And there's international games coming. The US, the Gold Cup, the Women's Gold Cup final is going to be at Snapdragon in a couple of weeks, which is going to be a lot of fun. But I mean, it's just crazy when we look at soccer and we have some names like Landon Donovan and Alex Morgan, who are arguably like two of the biggest like known soccer names in the world, like or in the US at points.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
someone
yeah.
like Shannon McMillan, who was such a big piece of like the US women's soccer history as well, like all involved in the city. Like we're really fortunate for that. And yeah, I have so many friends with the kids that go to those Wave games, and like they get to watch Alex Morgan play and they love it. I'm like, that is so cool for you. Like I wish I had that when I was a little kid. It's just, yeah, love the Wave.
Yeah, I'm excited about the Bersana, the girl from Encinitas. She's super young. That's insane. She's going to be amazing. Like, yeah, that's going to be great. You know, hey, before we get out of here, Chris, we didn't talk about this when we were talking about the Padres, but are you going to sign up for Padres TV this year?
No, I'm still an old soul and I have cable, so I don't need to worry about that. So, well, but allegedly,
okay, boomer.
We still don't have like a legit like definitive answer on that, because didn't Kassenda say like, oh, we'll know before opening day? And it's
yeah,
like,
that's the
yeah, I'm still confused if it's going to be on cable or not. I was just going through the
yeah,
the whatever it's, there's now Padres.tv,
yeah,
right? And there's no mention of it being seen on any other network, so I don't know. It's going to be interesting if it's on, because I have Fubo, which is kind of like cable, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm right now, like, I bit my nails way too much just being nervous about how I'm going to watch these games, because they also did, not to get down a rabbit hole here, but last year, being a season ticket member, I think it was the first year they included the MLB package in the season tickets. But there's a bunch of asterisks next to all that and the member benefits this year. So again, it's super confusing. I feel like all the stuff the Padres have put out this year has been at least a month, if not further behind than they normally do. Like, we just got our game pricing for season tickets yesterday, which is wild. It's usually like the year before, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyways, I don't know if it's going to be on TV or not, but otherwise we're going to all have to pony up like $200 to watch the games.
Or steal it. We're just
gonna I was gonna say, I'm gonna you know, but I'm not gonna go out of my way to pay extra for those games.
Yeah, I know. Wow. Well, you know, MLS is coming to town. I guess it's a San Diego sports tradition. We don't figure out our TV until
the most
what,
important,
I mean, what are they doing? Yeah, Apple
like
TV.
How you finance professional
I know,
sports,
I know.
And the San Diego just doesn't care.
It's incredible. Just let's make it hard for your audience. Yeah.
Well, and it's so funny. Like, we could go on a whole tangent about that, but like, people talk about cable being boomers. Hell, in 5 years, like, every sport is going to basically be its own cable network. And you're just going to have to, everything's going to be bundled, and you're just going to be paying for digital cable. And it's like, you're not fooling me, guys.
Yeah, I know. Well, this is a lot of fun, Chris. Thanks for coming on. I'll definitely check in with you maybe later this season. Follow Chris on Twitter at SportsBrain. And he's very active on Padres Twitter and San Diego soccer Twitter. And he's a good follow. Check it out. You can follow us at the Kept Faith Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Travis, do you have anything to promote or talk about? Dallas has a play coming out soon.
No, I just want some good baseball this year.
Yeah.
I feel very calm about it, but I just want good baseball. That's all I need, Nick.
Yeah.
One crazy thing before we go, I realized
today
is we have a guy as a non-roster invitee that was born the last year the Padres won the division.
Is it Salas?
2004?
Salas was born in June of 2006, and that would be last time the Padres won the division. So
it's even worse. Is 2006
the year he was born? Dallas and I were roommates. You and Travis, you and Dallas were roommates a couple years later. So you'll have
later,
your own player.
Yes.
Yeah, you'll have your own player. You'll have your own player.
But, love it.
Cool. All right. Hey, guys, thanks for listening. We'll check in probably at the end of this month. I do want to have some, I think I have somebody lined up that could dig really deep into like the TV deal and all that fun sports media stuff. So look for that coming up. All right. Keep the faith. Bye.
Bye.
Let's go, Padres!